The Great Divide Trail is billed as one of the most spectacular and challenging trails on the planet, and even though it's right in our backyard, very few Albertans know anything about it. The 1,200-kilometer trail winds its way through rugged, often untamed terrain from Waterton in the south all the way to Kakwa Provincial Park in the north, that's well north of Jasper. Only a handful of hikers complete the hike each year, and Erin Saver is one of them. She's just days off the trail at this point, but we've reached her on her way home to find out more about it and find out some of her highs and lows along the way. Hi, Erin.
Good morning, Paul.
Congratulations. What an adventure.
Thank you so much. It's been a few days now, and I've had some time to absorb it, but it still doesn't feel like it happened.
So what made you decide to come up to Canada and do the Great Divide Trail anyway?
When I, 2 years ago, I did the Continental Divide Trail that went from Mexico to Canada. And when I finished that, I had a blog follower that left me a gift at the post office in Canada at Waterton Lakes. And that gift was a book of the guide to the Great Divide Trail. And it just planted that seed that I would want to continue that trail further north. It wasn't a real thing until I saw that guidebook. And I was like, whoa, it goes further north, and I want to see what that is.
And give me the lay of the land here. How long did it take you? How many kilometers did you have to cover? That sort of thing.
Yeah, it took us about, it was 48 days and 1,200 kilometers. And we took maybe 4 days off in that range there. And it pretty much covers the border between Alberta and BC, that angled border that you have, and then it shoots straight up north from there. But it stops right before it starts to shoot north. And it goes. It starts at Waterton Lake and ends at Kakwa Lake. So it was quite a journey. We averaged about each day. I think we did in miles. It was 20 miles or less a day, about average, to be able to finish it in the 48 days.
Amazing. And not exactly, I mean, of course, people have heard of the Pacific Crest Trail before, sort of one of the equivalent trails that's south of the border. It's an amazing trail, but also fairly well trodden. This is much less so. Describe for me the kind of terrain and bushwhacking you had to go through.
Yeah, this trail is not one of those trails where the path is well laid and you've got clear path the whole way. And it does have an association, the Great Divide Trail Association, and it's come in and out of its membership as far as and being able to, but it's got this resurgence, and they've really done a great job of doing more repairs in the recent years on the trail and making it a clearer trail. But definitely, what it does is it connects a lot of well-known trails. For instance, the Skyline Trail, and it goes through the trails of Waterton Lakes, and then also Jasper and Banff. But when you're not in those well-trodden sections, it definitely goes into some things that are more like horse packer trails that aren't as well used, and they're overgrown and quite brushy. So sometimes there's no trail at all, and you're just kind of pushing through brush and making your way through the next whatever landmark you would have in front of you. And I think it's what makes that trail unique is it's not just going to be one of those cruising ones that it's automatic. You're going to have to use your navigation skills, and you're going to have to figure out where you are. And it's not blazed in the way that other trails are. You don't have a sign that says Great Divide Trail the whole way. So it makes it unique in that way. And I like it. It's just more remote and less developed, and really one that makes it more of an adventure.
And it really means that not too many people do what you just did this summer. Give me a sense for how many people are likely to go and do the Great Divide Trail on a given year.
Yeah, the numbers are multiplying. And we crossed paths with like a handful of hikers. And I believe there were about a dozen out there, maybe a few more. And the ones that do it, a lot of them, they travel north from Waterton Lakes up to Jasper. And they like to end at Mount Robson. That's a pretty grand one that a lot of people have done, that whole Berg Lake trail heading into Mount Robson. But if you were to do the trail all the way north to the end, that my partner Elizabeth and I, we hiked all the way up to Kakwa Lake, and that's an additional 9 days north from Robson. And it ends at the remote Kakwa Lake, but still you need 2 days to figure out how to get out from the lake once you get to the finish. So that it's pretty cool to have a remote finish like that and that choice of a finish. But few people do it all the way up to Capra Lake because of the logistics and the time that it takes to be able to do a leg that far out and that remote.
Yeah, I'm thinking bushwhacking, huge time commitment, you know, just all that trail finding and route finding. It's not everyone who goes off and does something like this. Who would you say is the kind of person and personality that's drawn to this kind of trail and this kind of endurance hiking?
Yeah, I'd say usually the type of people are people that are looking to have some more solo time. And to be alone and just something a little bit more remote and challenging and one that was closer to nature and less of that social experience, which you are going to overlap with people during the more clustered areas where you have those popular trails. But for the most part, you're going to have the land to yourself, and it's very peaceful and very meditative and just wonderful. And you really feel alive when you're out there and it's all to yourself. I did have a hiking partner that I went with, and that was one that I thought was really important just because for me personally, to do the whole thing alone would take quite a mental stamina to be able to do the navigation and the bushwhacking and also deal with the weather that comes with that trail. To do that alone, it would take quite a mental endurance. So it was great to have the partner E that I had, and we kept each other really positive. It really made that trip so much more than it would have been had I done it alone.
These are corners of the world that not a lot of people have had an opportunity to see. Is there one spot in particular? I know it's so hard to choose, but is there one spot in particular that you can kind of transport us to and sort of paint the picture, describe what it was like and why it was so spectacular on this particular hike?
One of the ones that at the end in that last leg going north from Robson to Kakwa Lake is called the Jack Pine High Route. And Jack Pine Mountain and Jack Pine Pass is up there. So we got to do the first part of that. And I would have loved to have had more days. It's a very intensive high route one that's more of a scramble and challenging. And the word harrowing was used in the description. When we were up on that section, we didn't expect to see anyone for 7 to 9 days. And we got up there, and out of nowhere, I mean, we're up high, we're out of the trees, and it was almost like a moonscape in different types of, you're up there, and because without the trees, and it's more of a slate kind of rock. And in the distance, we saw these horse packers coming towards us, and it was 3 horses and 2 horse packers, and it was as if one of those Field of Dreams experiences to me, is the way I described it, is that watching them walk out of the corn in a way, and it was so magical, and they were just the most peaceful and content people, and it turned out that they were a couple from Germany that has done the whole thing all the way from Mexico to Alaska over many years, and they were just like in their element, and it was one of those things where you expected them to walk up and be like, are we in heaven? And it was just this magical moment. And it was really great because we weren't expecting and didn't want to see people. But when we saw them, it was so fitting to be in that environment and to be up high. And all of us were in such bliss. It was a magical moment and one of the ones that stands out definitely on the trail.
Wow. Of course, there are always, you know, bad experiences, scary experiences. Well, was there a moment when you just thought that I can't keep doing this? Did you have that at all on this trip?
Generally, I don't have too many of those kind of moments where I'm like, oh, I can't do it at all. But there was one where we were concerned we may not be able to go forward. And up there when you're about to go over into Robson from, it's near the North Boundary Trail for people that know that, there's a crossing that brings you over from Moose Pass towards Mount Robson, and you have to cross something called the Smoky River. And there's a glacier, the Coleman Glacier empties into that river right before where you cross. A bridge was washed out a few years ago and has not been replaced. And when we got there in the evening, it was a raging glacial storm of just, it looked the color of chocolate milk, almost the water. And we thought, we are going to have to turn around. And we were kind of figuring out what kind of food we could spare and how long it would take us to get back, because there really was no exit nearby. As we sat there, the 3 hours we were there in the evening, we already saw it dropping. And I took photos of the before and after so you can see how much it changed. And in the morning, you could actually see, like, bits of the rock at the bottom, so it was definitely shallow enough. But when we got up in the morning, we were so relieved that we did not have to make a turnaround or find some alternative way. The crossings were probably the most worrisome on that trail. And we were benefited by a low rain and low snow year this year. A lot of that trail, the X factor of it, is the weather. It could snow in June, July, no problem, like any night. So you got to be ready for that. And this is one trail that I spent the majority of it in rain gear, and not necessarily because it was raining on me at the time, but because it may have rained the night before, and that foliage that's hanging over the trail is just soaked in it, and you just learn to walk through it and get wet, and it's usually in the 40s up there. It's not very warm when it may be warm down low. We were experiencing 40s and 50s most days.
So kind of like low double digit kind of things, yeah.
Right, exactly. For you guys, it'd be in Celsius. So what is that, maybe 7 degrees Celsius?
Yeah, yeah.
When we had dry shoes at the end of the day or in the morning to put on, it was just a luxury. And we'd be like, oh my gosh, we have dry shoes this morning. It was just amazing. And you wouldn't have to put on ice cold shoes in the morning. So it's totally worth it. I feel like it's the ticket you pay to be able to be out there. And if that all wasn't out there, then that trail would be crowded.
You know, your day job south of the border is as a teacher. You're on your way back down there to start another school year. For you, going back to that, city life, your day-to-day job, what's it like for you to make that transition again? Is it difficult?
Yeah, I think for a lot of hikers, that is a very difficult transition. I've had the fortune of having a routine life, and that I've done this for a few years now, and the family I nanny for, and then also the schools that I substitute for on a daily basis, it's something routine that I know and can go back to. It's almost like it helps to have something that you can dive right back into to distract you from the fact that you're not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fortunate that I get to do this on a regular basis and go out each year if I want, and it helps that transition, knowing that it's just temporary and I'll be back out soon.
Well, what an adventure. Good for you, Aaron. I'm thrilled to have a chance to talk with you, and congratulations on your achievement.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Aaron Wired-Saver, an endurance hiker. She's just completed the Great Divide Trail, which runs 1,200 kilometers from Waterton in southern Alberta all the way to Kakwa Provincial Park, north of Jasper. To find out more about this hike, you can go to greatdividetrail.com or head to Aaron's blog, walkingthewired.com. I also put a link to that blog up on our Daybreak Alberta Twitter feed. Always get in touch with us there. We're at Daybreak Alberta.